What a beautiful morning. We are off to something spectacular. Did we find my voice yet? Here I am. Can you hear me? Does it sound like I'm on?
Little.
Little? Okay, Norman. So let me just do this while we're figuring out my voice. There are some celebrities here today, and I don't want to call anybody out, but I'm just so happy that even right up in the front row, that the love of my life is here, one of my sister colleagues. And I just want to mention, would you just stand up and let them see your face? This is the minister, Reverend Michelle Whittington, who does the... don't tell me, I know it, the art of feminine presence. And so the next time she has flyers, she's going to send them our way. And I understand that it's not just exciting for women, but that you've actually been including men in some of your workshop work. So wonderful. Thank you for being here. What a treat for me. What a great surprise. Yeah. So good morning. Welcome to the West Valley Center for Spiritual Living. I'm Reverend Karen Rice, and I'm the senior minister here in this community. And if you're feeling that buzz, it is because something magnificent is unfolding today. And what's interesting to me is that by looking at the board president and our assistant ministers and myself, I can see that we're more excited than you seem to be. So we work really hard for this big presentation where we look at all these great accomplishments we've achieved in 2018. But the exciting part for me is that I get to share with you my vision for our future. So we'll be having lots of fun. I've been teasing you about it for quite a while because there are some distinct changes that are coming into form. This project I've been working on for 2 or more years on relevance has now come into this thing that I can see. You know how the law works? You know, we plant it in consciousness, we seed it, we nurture it, and then voila, we get this gorgeous result. And so I have a lot of exciting things that I'm looking forward to sharing with you. The title of my message this morning is The Beloved Community. You guys are the beloved community sitting here in this sanctuary this morning. And it has a little subheading after the beloved community. I'm going to be referencing this idea of having a glimpse of God. So I encouraged my own inspiration by finding the perfect quote from Ernest Holmes, the founder of the Science of Mind. And here are the words of Dr. Holmes so long ago that really apply to what we're looking at this morning. There are a few who have climbed the heights of spiritual vision and caught a feeling, a glimpse of the ultimate reality. Poets and spiritual philosophers and old prophets all had the same experience. It was a sense of the living presence. A sense of the living presence. I think that when we open ourselves to the possibility of having a glimpse of God, I think that's what a sense of the living presence is. So sometimes we're stimulated by something we hear. Or this morning I noticed there's a lovely aroma in the sanctuary that's foretelling the beautiful food we're going to partake of together in a little while. But this is a week where we are specifically honoring this idea of the beloved community. And that is because I have woven that idea very carefully into the way that we continue to be a sweet and relevant place to gather. And the term the beloved community comes from Martin Luther King, and there's a wonderful book on it by Reverend Dr. Jim Lockard. And Dr. Lockard seems to pull things into simple ways of understanding, and I'll be sharing a lot of that information with you as we step into the next meeting. But what I really wanted to emphasize this morning is the way that there is power, that there is power in community, in the way that we join. You know, scripturally, we have that familiar phrase, when two or more are gathered. You know, when two or more people come together for that purpose of looking at spiritual matters and talking about divine ideas, that something happens and it's as though we amplify that essence of the presence of Spirit. And so when I think about that, I realize that there's a good purpose in our joining, in that idea of togetherness and spiritual union, that something more is always going on. Now, I almost said Hugh. Holmes was, in the quotation that I used there at the top, he gives this reference to this idea of the mystic that is one who sort of lives in that atmosphere of being receptive to that living presence of God. And as he was speaking of that, he was talking about the great poets and the artists and the musicians and the authors. He was talking about the way that people can, human living beings can tap into that spiritual essence that is always present and tap into something that is more, something that inspires us in such a way that we're uplifted and our consciousness just seems more open. And then we have these experiences of bringing these spiritual ideas into expression, you know, into form. So the artist can paint great works of art or just dabble like we're going to do on the whatever that date is, it's in your program there. But we can dabble in that. But the great artist creates something that we then can sit in front of and have an experience of. The great composer can put music together in such a way that we can go to the symphony and we can sit and we can just consume all of that divinity around us in that unique way that only music can. We had an experience, I'm going to say a profound experience of something when Point of Light sang this morning. And so that's the way that the mystic dances on that edge of tapping into that greatness, that way that the mystic has an ability to remain more open to it and that way and thereby express greater things. So it's as though there's this zone of creativity. All of us have access to it. Nobody is prevented from being one that taps into it. But when you tap into it, and you have the skill, you have the voice, you have the companions that mix the voices together, wow, then other people can have that intimate experience of communion with the divine because they have done it, they have tapped into it, but they are expressing it in that way that we can all have a part of it. We can all be lifted up and inspired by it. So there's a point I want to make about this. Now, I know that we can do anything, that there's that pure potentiality in all of us. I'm not changing any of that conversation, not touching any of those ideas. But what I want to say is Harry Connick Jr. plays the piano way better than I do. In fact, I ached for a long, long time just to be able to play the piano, so I did the right thing and took lessons. I took lessons at a community college for 6 months, which is the equivalent, they say, of taking a year's worth of piano lessons, and I sucked. I just could not get into the musical aspect that I feel when I'm sitting in audience of someone who has the skill to relay that in that divine way. That one who can tap into that which is that ultimate creative source of all things. And I know, I'm not disappointed that I can't play like Harry Connick Jr., but I know that he can't do some of the things that I do. Amen. right? So we are individualized expressions of the divine, and we are so unique that if we answer our call, if we say yes to what has been already freely given to us, and we apply our skills and we stay open to that glimpse of God, amazing things happen on this planet in physical forms that we can see and observe and touch and feel and know. So I can feel, I can get myself in the zone of feeling what the artist or the musician or the great chef, of feeling what they feel simply on that same note of being open to a glimpse of God. See, nothing is withheld from us. I can have that divine encounter one way or another, and it doesn't matter. It's freely given. What allows us to have that experience? Our own receptivity, our own willingness to become that container and to stretch ourselves and to have that deeper experience in our willingness to glimpse the divine. So the gift of our gathering, here's where it gets juicy if you're me. The gift of our gathering is that, you know, I come every Sunday morning, I come and I ready myself, right? I do all my spiritual practice in addition to preparing a message for you. Or for me, I probably just do it for me. But in addition to all of that, I ready myself. And so I come to the center on every Sunday or every activity, anytime we come to join together, I come with this willingness to have a divine experience, to open myself to something new, maybe something I've never experienced before. I become with an attitude of openness, and I come with a consciousness of expectation. See, I expect great things to happen every day when I drive up and I park in that space. I expect something good's going to happen. And so it starts by my gratitude. Like, oh, isn't this great? I get to park right here by the door. It starts like, look, I got a key to get in this building. How amazing is that? And then I come in and I get to love the building, and I walk through the bookstore and I love the books, the variety of things that we have available in our bookstore, the things that change lives. And then I step into my office and I see a whole new world of possibility. And so I bring that every day. And what happens when one person brings that? It attracts more of that, right? It becomes a magnet for more and more good to be revealed. And so I was thinking about that. I was thinking about how I used to have a child, one of those U-shaped magnets. You know, and what happens when you sit down in the dirt? I, for one, love to sit in the dirt and love to do gardening and get dirt under my fingernails and connect with the earth. You know, that's exciting for me. But what happens when you take a magnet and you just run it through the dirt for a while? You see that all these particles jump out and attach to it. They're little pieces of iron that are naturally in the earth, but we don't see the iron until we extract it with the magnet that pulls out all that iron. And the thing I was thinking about, the way that it works in terms of our humanity, is that as we ready ourselves for an experience of good, wherever we're going or whatever we're doing, we become a magnet for good, and we not only attract way better than all those iron particles, but we attract good in unlimited ways, and it never ends. We're never going to run out of the possibility of more and more good that we can bring to our lives. Let me hear a big amen. Amen. So imagine that as each of us came with that same attitude, being really intentional about our expectation of good, about that ability to have a glimpse of God in some way. Wow, How strong is that force of attraction now? And it's huge. We can't measure it, can we? We can't even measure it. And so I love that idea that we do that just in our willingness to be here, just in our willingness to look at why we come here. And so if you add to all of that law of attraction that we've activated just in our joyous expectation, now imagine you add to that some inspiring music by Point of Light or the Bradfords, right? And imagine that we add to that the minister has prepared a message, an intentional message in this idea that it can be encouraging and uplifting and it can be a lesson in principle, so that we can all learn how to use these tools, so that we all become a little more skilled in our ability to not only glimpse the divine, but to experience the divine in our living. And then imagine we add to that prayer and singing and affirmations. And then better yet, it's dining with the dudes and we're going to have food later. Right? I mean, what could be better? What could be better than that? So when I think of the beloved community, I think of us as a package deal. Right? We come together and we bring such a force of love. I loved everything that came together, the reading and the beautiful lyrics in the songs that were shared this morning. We become the heart and the hands and the voice of Spirit itself. And I notice that something changes in that vibrational energy when we move into prayer or we move into meditation or song. I noticed that the energy this morning was extra vibrant. I love it when I hear all that chattering going on while we're trying to begin this service, you know? It means that something special's in the air. And yes, your leadership today is revved up and excited because we have just spent the last month or longer talking about the good things we have accomplished in the West Valley, in right here in the sanctuary as a community. And we're really excited about our future, what lies ahead for us in 2019. And so I just notice how all of that changes us. It is the evidence of that cumulative nature of our love all coming together, that powerful force for good on this planet. And this planet needs it so much. We all know that. We speak about it. But I want you to realize you are partaking in it and participating in calling more of that good forward. And it all begins with the tiniest glimpse. You want to hear the definition to the word glimpse? It is to see briefly, to sight, just long enough to discern. To discern what? That's up to you, isn't it? It comes from the same root as the word glimmer. Think of it as a glimmer of light. I just feel that divine stir inside even saying that. Think of it as a sliver of an idea that's radiant with possibility. It's a sign, that glimmer, that glimpse is a sign that there is a lot more going on behind the scenes. And here we are, opening ourselves to it. I want to read you a quote from a beautiful woman, Joan Chittister. She's an American Benedictine nun. If you ever get a chance to hear her speak, she's fabulous. She's considered a theologian. She's an accomplished author. These are her words. I love her perspective on what's going on in the world. We want more from religion now than rules. We want something to help us find meaning in life when all the rules cease to make sense, when all the old systems break down or fade away. We want a glimpse of God here and now. Yeah. Yeah. And there's only one way to have a glimpse of God, and that is to get in that zone. I was thinking as I was realizing how it is that way that we, that the musician's voice takes us to the same place where they captured their inspiration. So now we're having that experience of their expression of that which we desire to be one with, to have that communion with, and the way that works in physical form. And I was thinking that as we do that, that those of us who take the time to appreciate those opportunities, that we are truly growing more good. Because that's what it means to appreciate. Think of equity. It grows. The more we use it, the more we feel it, the more we activate it, it grows. So think of it like this. I was thinking of people that go to sporting events. I don't go very often, but once in a while I hit spring training, you know, because it's a family favorite in my house. And I was thinking about what happens when people stand up and hear the national anthem, that there's a shift, that there's an energetic something that happens when people unite in that vibration. You can feel it, you can taste it, you can know it. You can be a part of having that experience. It is the same thing as when I walk into this sanctuary and there's meditation going on. And I step into that sacred space and just feel that and allow myself to sort of meld with it. So I'm feeling the oneness of that consciousness. We are creating things like this all the time. And so I wanted to tell you a story that I came across this week about a poet. And this poet became sick. And he'd been sick for a few months, so he takes himself to visit his doctor. And he says, "Doc, I haven't been well. Something's wrong with me. I'm not feeling good. I haven't been sleeping well. I'm having these headaches. My joints are achy. You know, and I'm feeling kind of irritable from lack of sleep, probably. I don't know. Maybe I'm even depressed. I don't know. But now look, I got this rash." And so the doctor's listening, and he's attentive, and he goes, and he investigates. He looks at the man's rash, and he steps back, and he pauses, and he puts his hand under his chin while he's thinking. And the doctor says to the man, "Well, when was the last time you wrote a poem?" And the poet said, "Oh, it's been quite a while. I just haven't felt any inspiration." And then the doctor said, "Well, when was the last time you recited your poetry to someone?" And the poet again answered, "Oh, it's really been a long time." So the doctor did this. "Do you think you could recite one of your poems to me right now?" And the man said, "Here in the examining room, you want me to recite poetry?" And he said, "Yeah, let me hear one of your poems." And so the man thinks a minute, and then he comes up with one of his favorite poems, and he really gets into it. It's kind of a long poem, but he does it flawlessly. And he gets done, and the doctor said, "That's excellent. That was really beautiful. Could you do another one?" And the man said, "Well, yeah, I think I could. Oh, yeah, I've got one for you." So he recites another poem. And then the doctor says, "Oh, please, go on. Let me hear more." And so the man recites several of his poems, and he gets all done, and the doctor says, "Tell me how you feel now." Right? And the man looked sort of startled when he thought about it, and he said, "I feel wonderful." And the doctor says, "Well, that's good. My work here is done. I want you to go home, and I want you to stay involved in your work. Get involved in your poetry." See, when we shut down our spirit, we shut down our life. And health is a function of our self-expression. Amen. So what do you love? What makes your heart sing? When do you feel most alive? I have an assignment for you. This is what I want you to do this week. I want each of you to make a little commitment to yourself, not me, to yourself. And I want you to go out in the world this week doing the thing that you do all the time, but I want you to anticipate you are going to have a glimpse of God when you least expect it, in a place where you have never noticed you've had a glimpse of God before. So it could be the grocery store. It might be a trip to the library. It might be while you're pulling weeds. I have some more weeds to pull. I don't know about you. It might be while you're preparing a meal or petting your dog or your cat or singing to your bird. I don't care what it is. I want you to find a time where you recognize the presence of God right where you are. Because we know that this is true. That, you know, God isn't missing or lacking or limited in any way. And so if we have this intention, it is certain that we will call it forward, that we will attract it into our life. So please join me this week in doing that. And I'd like to close this morning with a poem from Tagore. Has a really long first name that I'm not even going to try and say. But if you read spiritual material, you probably recognize that name. Tagore was an Indian poet, a musician, an artist. Actually, he won the Nobel Peace Prize for Literature in 1913. And these are some exquisite words that he happened to throw together, and I'm going to share with you. In the world's audience, in the world's audience hall, in the world's audience hall, the simple blade of grass sits on the same carpet with the sunbeam and the stars of midnight. The world's audience hall. Imagine that. The entire world is waiting for us to appreciate it. We are gifted with these tremendous ongoing gifts from the universe. Spirit is pouring out grace into our lives continuously, ours. All we have to do is shift our posture and open ourselves to be that vessel that receives that grace that's already there. So this week, my friends, I invite you to sense the living presence of God, to open yourself to a glimpse, and to especially remember that when we come together as a beloved community, we amplify that power of receptivity. And so I would like to anchor these ideas in the words of prayer. And so at this time, I would invite all the practitioners, all the ministers, any ministerial students we have, if you would just stand and surround this sanctuary. As we move into this place of recognizing the divine right here. Knowing that each person sitting in a chair this day or listening to the sound of my voice, that each one has been given a gem that is unlike anyone else's. And so as we hold that truth that is ours, we turn within and acknowledge the indwelling presence of Spirit itself. For a moment in time, we reflect on the magnificence of that all-knowing presence. I feel the love of God within me, and I know that it is an activity of life. It is that movement that spins this planet, that allows all things in the universe to be aligned in perfect order. There is no place where that wisdom and that intelligence is not. And so I know it's right here. I know it. I feel it. I recognize that at the center of each person, there is that light, that divine illumination, that quickening that comes with these words of prayer amplified by the consciousness of this community that is so beloved. I feel the love of God within me. And I know it is that beautiful force in the universe. It is that breath of life. It is that which has kissed us into being. And so we stand in this place of glimpsing the divine, of recognizing the powerful presence right here. We feel it within us. We know that it is a presence that is good, that it is for us, that it is that which keeps our lungs breathing and the blood pumping through our body, showing us the law of circulation. It is that which breaks apart any appearance that seems to constrict the flow of our good. For we know that as much as we want our good desires us. And so we open ourselves even now. We open ourselves to receive. We are conduits to just capture this grace as it rains upon us, as it pours over us, as it stirs within us. We accept. And I feel this healing, this restoration of truth as the very molecules of our being are shuffled into that perfect order to reveal such truth. So as we rest in this sense of contentment and perfect knowing, I begin to feel gratitude stirring within me, the deepest thankfulness, that knowing that every word spoken in this prayer is given freely to the law, and that it is Spirit that brings things into form in such a way. And so we use that gratitude, knowing it is that equity that continues to expand our consciousness and to bless our lives and to heal our relationships. I say thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, life. Thank you, Infinite Spirit, for all of these blessings, for the blessings that are yet to come. And I simply release the words of this prayer into that dynamic law that only says, yes, my child, yes, I let it be. And together we say, amen.